Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. As 2024 is quickly concluding, this will in fact be our final episode of the year. With that, good idea to take some inventory and discuss what investors should learn from this past year. So with that, Burkhard, thank you very much for spending some time today with our listeners, our clients, as we begin to close out 2024. Maybe to begin, Burkhard, can you share with our listeners, our clients, what you took away from what has indeed been a very eventful year?
Well, thank you, Dan. Yes, indeed. It's been an eventful year. It's been a great journey. It's been fun all the more. I think when I look back, I think I can clearly see at least three lessons learned, which, you know, in my 30 years, I've come across many times, but this year seems to me to illustrate them particularly well as we look back on this year. So the first one, with the magnificent 8 or 7 having had such a great run for 12 months and many more stocks and bonds around the world, I'd point out, it's just let your winners run. Just let your winners run and cut your losses early. You know, investors too often take profits far too early and then they are agonizing. But if you keep a cool head, let the winners do the work for you. It allows you to benefit from the power of compounding. And, I mean, you know, just think about it. If someone had bought just one single Apple share in the 1980s, you'd be a millionaire today just from owning an Apple share for that time. And that's just an important lesson, namely that, you know, the way I think about stock markets, they're a wonderful mechanism to transfer or redistribute wealth from the impatient to the patient investor. Think about it. I think that's one of the lessons from this year. My second lesson from this year is time in the market inevitably beats timing the market. Performance comes from what you own, not what you trade. Markets are incredibly efficient, and we shouldn't try to outsmart them. It rarely works. It's usually better keep a cool head, stay invested for the long run. And my third one, looking back at 2024, is prepare, don't predict. I encounter this misunderstanding very often that people think I'm in the business of making predictions. Well, I'm not. Managing money is mostly about discipline, crosses, and diversification. Predictions are interesting and they can be fun to discuss, but they're no basis to build an investment portfolio. Successful investors know to stick to a strategy, assume nothing, work with scenarios, understand that market diversification is really the only free lunch, and asset allocation matters more than stock picking.
Well, Burkhard, very valuable takeaways there for our listeners, our clients, terrific food for thought. Now, on a related note, let me ask you about some of the things which seem to have taken investors by surprise. Why, for example, have geopolitics, climate change, or even government deficits seem to have had no impact on markets? And why are fiscal deficits not really moving bond yields as they did back in the 1970s, for example?
Oh, that's those are very good questions. I too hear them in my client meetings all the time. I mean, geopolitics is maybe the one that people are most puzzled about because it never really caused the bear market people think it should have. But, you know, that relates to another misunderstanding I encounter very often. It's that people think, oh, you know, you must be studying something really complicated when you do stock markets. And, you know, I tell them, well, that's not true. Markets are the simplest thing in the world. All markets do is they're a reflection of two things, earnings and interest rates. That's all they do. That's what I've learned in my 30 years. And moving to geopolitics, sadly, They only move markets if they move earnings or interest rates. But the wars and the conflicts we see around the world, much as they create headlines, they don't drive bottom line. And that's why they haven't caused a bear market. What's more, as the whole world now seems to be wanting to invest 2 to 4% of GDP into weapons and security, that's actually creating investments and factories and jobs and revenues and earnings rather than destroying them. So, and at the same time, as Vladimir Putin's war on Ukraine caused a global energy crisis, the rush to the energy transition has never been more serious than right now. The energy transition on speed in China, the US, and Europe, and around the world, these are massive investments. And at the end of the day, they're caused by geopolitics and even giving a tailwind to markets. And, you know, your thought about fiscal deficits is the second one I keep on hearing. Why aren't fiscal deficits driving bond yields higher? Well, they're not, because in the long term, in our view, bond yields are driven by inflation and not by fiscal deficits. And that's certainly so in the United States, because the United States issue the world's reference currency and will always find enough people to buy U.S. treasuries. And that's why, as innovation and productivity gains drive inflation lower, and on top of it, oil prices haven't surged as people would have feared from the Middle East wars. It's the decline in innovation which is leading energy prices, which is leading inflation lower. And I think the 1970s illustrate the point as well, because in the 1970s, there were those two energy price shocks, 1974, 1979. And back then, energy, namely oil, was 10 times more relevant to the economy than it is today. And that's why back then, there was a period of 10 years of inflation, even stagflation. But that wasn't really caused by deficits in the first place, but by two energy shocks causing inflation.
Well, Burkhard, thank you for sharing that clarity on a couple of those questions that have been top of mind for our listeners and our clients. So as we begin to conclude, maybe we can wrap up with hearing your thoughts, expectations on the year ahead, 2025. What can you share with us?
Well, as I look into 2025, I'll say three things again. One thing is follow the money. You know, one of the biggest investment opportunities next year, led by government and businesses, the global energy transition. And it's really picking up speed. And on our conservative estimate, it's going to cost between 2 to 4% of GDP annually for the rest of this decade. And we feel that that's not fully priced into market, probably because it really affects so many walks of businesses. So that's one thing, not just to watch, but to be invested in. I think the second thing I would say, if I look into next year, is I'll extend what we learned this year. Don't bet against U.S. consumers. They're wealthy, they have good jobs, and rising incomes, and that will continue next year. That was key to U.S. exceptionalism this year, and it'll remain a pillar of that. And let me conclude with a last thought, which is what really matters most is you, is us, because our investments are never an end in itself. And because it's a good practice to review the impact we want our investments to have at this time of the year, at the festive season, but at the end of the year, because, you know, our investments can truly change the world. And they can do that today and for the next generation. And this is a good moment to reflect on it, I think.
Well, Burkhard, that was a terrific way to cap off our conversation today, as well as the podcast series for 2024. Thank you very much, Burkhard, for sharing with our listeners throughout the course of the year your insights on the wide range of topics we've covered, as well as the guidance when it comes to investing as well. Very valuable, and do look forward to continuing the Viewpoint series in the year ahead, 2025. Though, in the meantime, Burkhard, I do wish you and yours a happy and healthy new year, as well as an enjoyable holiday season.
Same to you, Dan. Thank you very much. All the best. Stay well and healthy. Happy holidays. Bye now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investor investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.